We now bring to this microphone David James. He's here at the broadcast table with me for our weekly conversation, this time 2018, the year in review. And David, first of all, hope you had a great Christmas and Happy New Year.
Well, thank you very much. You did have a great Christmas.
And we'll talk again about the new year in a moment, but we want to look back over 2018. This will be the last program that we do together this year. We want to review some of the most important topics that we covered throughout the year. One of our ongoing discussions in the topics and issues has been the International Ministry of the Alliance for Biblical Integrity. As we've caught up with you each week, wherever you were in this world. So I think it's a good time to start, and let's think about the Alliance for Biblical Integrity.
Sure. Well, as many of our listeners know, you are one of the founding members of the Alliance for Biblical Integrity, and it's resulted in a partnership between your ministry, Prophecy Today, and the Alliance for Biblical Integrity. And as you look back, I really appreciate that partnership. When I review our ministry, I generally present a two-year window because it gives people more of a feel for what they're partnering with. And for the last couple of years, it's involved ministry in 8 states here in the United States, 11 different countries, teaching in 11 schools, speaking in 17 churches, doing 11 conferences and 23 seminars with a total of probably around 7,000 attendees altogether. So it's been a great trip, if you will, over the last several years. It's been almost 10 years now, and looking forward to the new year with the first trip starting next weekend.
Well, praise the Lord. Where do you go next weekend?
I head out to the Philippines for teaching 3 weeks. I'll be teaching God's Plan Through the Ages, Proverbs, Daniel, and current theological issues.
Well, great. Well, we'll be praying for you there. Because of the partnership between Prophecy Today and your ministry, David, we have frequently discussed the ever-changing situation in the area of eschatology. Remind our listeners what eschatology means and some of the issues and trends that we've covered here in 2018.
Sure. Well, eschatology is simply the technical theological term for the study of last things, but it also goes broader than that, not just discussing things related to yet unfulfilled prophecies, things that are yet future for us, but actually looking at all of prophecy throughout the Word of God. So that's what the definition would be. We talked about several things, and we've been watching several things over this past year. One is the continuing resurgence of Reformed theology, which definitely touches on this area of eschatology. Reformed theology teaches that there's only been one people of God since Adam, no distinction between Israel and the church, meaning no literal fulfillment of God's promises to Israel, and for many of them, no literal millennial reign of Christ, and this is all because of an inconsistent application of a proper method of interpretation. And this also has practical implications with many Christians, churches, denominations, and schools actually turning their backs on Israel, which has an impact on our international foreign policy. Then there's also been a resurgence of sensationalism and prophetic teaching. This really got kicked off back in 2012 with the Harbinger, and then a couple of years later with the Blood Moons issue going on, with some talking about Pope Francis being the last pope before the tribulation begins. Another thing that we've discussed, I've called UFO Nephilim eschatology, where there's saying that angels are once again going to cohabit with women, and even the Antichrist may be one of the Nephilim that we read about in Genesis 6. So that's been an issue. And then along with this, as larger prophecy conferences with a mixture of solid Bible teachers sharing the stage with sensationalists and in some cases false and even heretical teachers. These are some of the major issues.
Yes, indeed, and other issues that we've discussed several times because of the extent of its influence around the world is the charismatic movement. I know that you have personal experience in this area that goes back to over 30 years ago and have also been teaching on the subject for at least some 20 years.
That's true. I was saved through the ministry of a Holiness Pentecostal preacher back in 1984. I've had family members who have been deep into the most extreme elements of the charismatic movement, and they have since come out of that, actually due to the fact that over long periods of time, sometimes decades, they were not healed of serious illnesses. I was also exposed to it when I was at Dallas Seminary. The last semester that Jack Deere taught, he was in the vineyard movement just as it was becoming extreme, and he was actually fired from Dallas Seminary because he refused to resign. So that's my background. Reading a book, The Next Christendom, the writer said that in Christian terms, the late 20th century will probably be known as the era of the Pentecostal explosion, from less than 6% in the mid-1970s to at the end of the 20th century, over 20% of world Christianity. And so I run into it wherever I go, especially in Africa and the Philippines. When I teach in Uganda, almost all of my students have either been to or continue to be members of Pentecostal churches.
You know, David, there's one thing we cannot deny, and that is that President Trump has been in the news almost every day for the last 2 years, his 2 years in office. And whether you agree or disagree with some of the things he says or does, it doesn't matter. There have at least been a couple of things that he accomplished this year that were of special importance, especially to us who are believers.
I would agree with that completely, and I think independent of what one thinks of some of the things that he says and does, there has been a strong influence of born-again believers on the Trump administration, those in some of his advisory teams, and most of those are socially conservative and pro-Israel, even though we might not agree with all of their theology. The first of the two major things, I think, that we can say that have impact for believers is the appointment and confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court, replacing Anthony Kennedy, making him the second justice secured by the Trump administration. And this could affect Supreme Court decisions for decades going forward, moving the country back toward more constitutional conservatism, which has tremendous impacts throughout our entire society. And then there was the recognition of Jerusalem as a legitimate capital of Israel, and then the movement of the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem in May. And in fact, I just got back from taking a tour to Israel, and we actually drove right up to the new U.S. Embassy, the temporary embassy, when we were there in November, and that was an exciting thing to see and be a part of.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you on the team as a teacher and a tour director for us there in Israel. Going to the land of the Bible is very key, and if you're listening, would like to participate with one of our VIP tours with Jim Jr. and Rick, my two sons, and then David, you need to get a hold of Jody at prophecytoday.com. Go to Joshua Travel. Go to the website. You'll find Joshua Travel. You can get a hold of Jody, and she might can tell you some information that would include you in one of these wonderful trips. David, Pope Francis and the Catholic Church in general were also in the news throughout the year, and really never for a good reason.
That's true. I would say that it would not be exaggeration to say that Pope Francis is the most controversial pope in modern history. He said a number of things that have really shaken the church to its core and traditional Catholics as well. For one thing, he has said even atheists can go to heaven, and that's an extension of what came out of Vatican II in the 1960s. He has said, "Who am I to judge homosexuality?" He has given an audience to a transgender person who was born a woman and affirmed the place of transgenders in the church. He's working to change the historic stance of the church toward abortion as well as divorce and remarriage. Recently, he has essentially denied the existence of hell. And at the same time, he's been faced with the twin crises of homosexuality and pedophilia in the priesthood of the church. He's been deeply criticized over his handling of the issue by both the LGBT community as well as victims. In fact, in August, the New York Times reported that the Pennsylvania grand jury says the church had a playbook for concealing the truth. It's like a playbook they said, and they said that this investigation identified more than 1,000 sexual abuse victims in 6 Catholic dioceses in Pennsylvania. So that's just a fraction of one state in the United States and all the countries around the world. So this is a huge problem.
Very, very bad situation. Well, finally, David, an important topic that we did not actually cover, but we should bring to the attention of everybody, is the increase in the persecution of Christians around the world in 2018.
I think that's right. I think it's not, even though we haven't discussed it, it's not that I haven't been keeping my eye on it as watching current theological issues around the world. In October, Morningstar News reported Sudan released 13 Christians arrested in Darfur after torture and threats. Since Sudan broke into 2 countries, Sudan and South Sudan, Sudan has become much more extreme the way it holds to its Islamic traditions and teaching. A couple of weeks ago, CBN News came out with an article saying Christians are standing in the way of China's totalitarian rule. And so Christians in China have come under severe persecution and increasing persecution as the premier of that country, the president of that country, has consolidated his rule. And then back in January, Christianity Today ran an article on the top 50 countries where it's most dangerous to follow Jesus, the number one spot being North Korea with more than 50,000 in prison. The second was Afghanistan. And you can imagine with looking at the map on that article that it was concentrated, the worst persecution, in the Middle East and North Africa. But it's also interesting that Mexico and Venezuela are also shown on that map as being hotspots of persecution. And so we need to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world. And it's something that I have to always keep my eye on because I do so much international travel.
I would agree with that, David. So be careful as you're out there traveling across the world. But I think we need to plan. One of our New Year's resolutions should be watch more closely persecution of Christians around the world. We'll make that an issue to discuss and stay on top of it with our listeners. David, thank you so very much for this report. A great report looking at 2018, a year in review. And may we stay on top of everything as we go to 2019. By the way, that reminds me, Happy New Year as you travel there to the Philippines.
Thanks much, Jimmy. Look forward to getting together with you again next week.
That'll be next year, by the way, buddy.
That's right.
Hey, thank you so much. We're going to take a break right now. I want to get the Bible out. We're going to look at the issues that we've discussed with our broadcast partners and see how they fit into the prophetic scenario found in God's Word. We'll take a look at the book right here on Prophecy Today.